Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you. You have brought us here this evening. And only by your grace we are upright. And now we remove all from our lives, distractions, and help us now to focus on your word. Be with us, bless us, increase our faith through our efforts tonight in your word. Be with us in a unique way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. On Wednesday night, the series is called A Word to Ponder. The word we're working on right now is the word love. We started it last Wednesday night, and we're going to take a look tonight at a very specific aspect of it. So I need you to turn your Bible to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and I need you to put a marker in there because that's where we're going to be tonight, though we're going to go to many other places. In Psalm 116 and in verse 1, the psalmist said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. The sentiment here of the psalmist ought to be the sentiment of every one of us. We ought to say as he said, I love the Lord. Now I want us to take a look at two passages. First of all, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. This is a statement that Jesus makes. We want to look at this statement, and then we're going to go back into the Old Testament to Moses and take a look at what he said. In Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Look at verse 38. This is the great and first commandment. So loving God, look at the expressions, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. I don't think that Jesus was necessarily there trying to make all of these divisions, but what he was saying is that with everything you are, with everything that makes you who you are and what you are, you love God, and that is the first, and that is the great commandment. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And these are the words of Moses. And when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 5, turn the page because we want Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Let me go to 4. Moses says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Listen to what he said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And Moses then goes on to tell, you take these words, you teach these words to your children, to your family. You teach them when they get up in the morning. You teach them when you walk along the way with them. You teach them when they're laying down at night to go to bed. Now, look at this. The psalmist said, I love the Lord. Jesus said the first and the great commandment is everything you are and ever will be, love the Lord. Moses told the children of Israel, love the Lord. Now here's the question. Why should we love the Lord? Wait a minute. Why should we love the Lord? We're going to answer that question tonight, and we are going to confine the answer to that question in Psalm 116. So turn to Psalm 116. The writer begins, I love the Lord. That is the only time, Psalms 116 and verse 1, that is the only time that those four words like that appear in the scripture. I love the Lord. And then he starts telling us why he loved the Lord. So why should we love the Lord? We're going to confine this thing to Psalm 116. Number one, we ought to love the Lord because he hears us. Look at Psalm 116 now, verse 1 and verse 2, and this is incredible. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. I don't even know how to say this. The creator of the universe, the almighty one, the all-knowing one, the all-present one, hears us. Listen to what it said. The psalmist says, he hears my voice. He hears my plea. God inclines his ear to me. I'll never understand that. Because I got an idea who he is, and I'm telling you, I know what a mess we are. Why should we love the Lord? Because he hears us. Listen, when he says, my voice, when he says that he inclines his ear to my voice, God recognizes my voice. When I pray, he distinguishes me from her, and her and me from him. He hears us. He hears us. He's listening to us. When you talk to him, he recognizes your voice, who you are. Now let's get specific in a couple areas. First of all, God hears us in times of distress. In times of distress. When it's all wrong, when it's all bad, when you don't understand, when you're trying to pick up the pieces, when you're trying to make sense out of any of it and all of it, in times of distress, heartbreak, disappointment, all of it, God hears us in times of distress. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 16. Listen to what it says. Let us then with confidence draw near to him, to the throne of grace. So we're going before him in confidence. We're approaching him with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So in times of distress, in times of need, when none of it is something that you understand, and when you're trying to put it together, in those times, with confidence, you can come before the grace of God and be assured that God hears and recognizes your voice, and in times of need, God will hear us. Why do I love him? Because he hears me. He listens. A second area, and I'm talking about this area on purpose because we need this. In thanking him for the blessings that we have received. Listen, many times we make prayer nothing more than gimme, gimme, gimme. And when we get it, it's gimme, gimme, gimme some more. Listen, there are times when our whole prayer ought to be thank you. There are times when the whole prayer just ought to be a prayer of gratitude. Lord, look what you've done for me. Look what you've done for me. We go to have tests, and okay, this could be something, this may not be nothing. And then those great words that they always say, this could really be bad, this could not be bad at all. You know what? Call me in a week. How many times are you going to pray about those test results in that week? Amen? Then the results come back, it's all good. How many times are you going to bow your head and say, thank you that it's all good? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, hear it, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Why should we love the Lord? Why should we love the Lord? Because he hears us. He hears us. Now, I hear Christians say this. You know, I pray and nothing happens. You ever hear anybody say that? I hear that a lot. Now, I'm going to tell you. If that was a constant thing, I'd find out what was wrong. I'd find out what was wrong. Now, sometimes there may not be an answer because the answer is no, and we don't take no well. And sometimes there may not be an answer because the answer is not yet. Not yet. But if I was praying consistently and nothing was happening, I'd figure that out before I went to bed tonight. Look, What are the things that would cause the Lord not to hear us? Now, we love the, listen, I love the Lord because he hears us. But some people are saying, well, you know what? I'm praying all the time. And you know what? I'm pumping, ain't no air coming out. You need to find out why. So what would keep him from hearing us? First of all, sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. And we're looking at Isaiah 59 because nobody said it better than he did. We don't talk enough about Isaiah. Listen, Isaiah was one of the most outstanding men in all of Hebrew history. Look what he says, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hands are not shortened that he cannot save, or his ears dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, sin, disobedience, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. God hears us, but if he's not hearing you, it may be sin. Another cause that the Lord would not hear us is that we are not his child. We are not his child. And this is a lot of people's problems. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching on prayer. Listen to me. In Matthew 6, Jesus isn't praying. He's teaching on prayer. So Jesus says, Matthew 6 and verse 9, he says, now, when you pray, pray like this. He says, our Father, who art in heaven. But you can't say that if he's not your father. If you're not his child, you can't say that. If you're not in the family, you can't say that. So it may be that a lot of prayer isn't being answered because he's not your father yet. I've heard people who haven't been in church in 30 years talking about praying. And I'm thinking, why? What causes him not to hear? Sin. You may not be his child. Number three, a lack of faith. A lack of faith. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Go to James 1. I don't want to just blow through this. I want to show you something in James 1. Turn to James 1. I'll show you something. In verse 5, we know the verse, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Listen to me. You got to ask yourself, why is he saying that? What has been said before that to lead to that? What has been said before in verses 2, 3, and 4 is he's talking about the trials of life coming on you. Trials and testings and burdens and heartache and all of this stuff is coming on you. Then he says in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, why in that context would you lack wisdom? Because you're trying to figure out why all this is coming on you. All this stuff is happening to me. Why is this happening to me? How am I going to figure out what's happening to me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask God for wisdom. Now look at verse 5. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now listen. But let him ask in faith and no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person, what person? The person who prays but doesn't pray in faith. Let that person not That for that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Listen, you can be right with God and you can pray, but if you don't have faith in that prayer is not going to get answered. Let not that person believe that they will receive anything from the Lord. You're not praying according to his will. You're not praying according to his will. Write down 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. He said, John says, we pray and our prayers aren't answered because we're not praying according to the will of God. You can't bow your head and pray, dear God, as soon as possible, kill my neighbor. That's not according to his will. And it may be that what you're asking isn't according to the will of God. We got to go quicker than we're going. Why should we love the Lord? Why should we love the Lord? Number one, because he hears us. Listen, if you don't go home with nothing else, go home with this. If you're a child of God, God recognizes your voice. Talk to him. That's why you should love him. Number two, we ought to love him because he cares for us. Go back to Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 7. Return, O my soul, to your rest. Now look at this, into verse 7. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Bountifully with me. Listen to me. God cares. You ought to love him because he hears you, and you ought to love him because he cares. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Don't ever think you're alone. Don't ever let the devil put you in that box that you're alone and that nobody cares. Listen, you are not alone and God cares. And that's why you ought to love him. Psalm 55 and in verse 22. Casting Psalm 55 and 22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. I want you to make a note in Psalm 55, 22. I want you to make a note in Psalm 55, 22. Casting all your burdens on him because he cares for you. He will sustain you. Now, there's two parts of that verse. You looking at it? There's two parts to that verse. The first part says what? Cast your burdens on the Lord. Listen to me. Who's responsible for that? You are. I am. Cast my burdens on the Lord. What's the second part of that verse say? And he will sustain you. Now let me tell you, who's responsible for that? All right, now, which one of them has got to come first? You got to come first. If he's going to sustain it, he's going to sustain it when you cast it upon him. A lot of times we want the Lord to fix something and we ain't even talk to him about it. There's two parts there. You do your deal and God will certainly do his deal. You understand it? You got the order right? Listen, what are we talking about? We're talking about love, but specifically, we're talking about loving the Lord. Why should I love the Lord? I ought to love him because he hears me. He knows me. I talk to him. I ought to love him because he cares for me. Cast your anxieties on him. Listen, that's not me going to him and begging him, can I do that? That's him coming to me saying, listen, give them to me. The problem is a lot of times we will give the Lord our anxiety and then 10 minutes later we want to circle back around and go get them. Amen. And that's why you're worried about, you spent today worrying about what you worried about yesterday. Because yesterday you didn't give it to him, or you did give it to him, and then sometime between then and now you went back and got it. Amen. Are you good? Crisis solved? You walking down the aisle not paying no attention. Crisis solved? All right. Number three, he delivers us. Why should you love the Lord? He hears you. Why should you love the Lord? He cares for you. Why should you love the Lord? Because he delivers us. Look at Psalm 116. Look at verse 8. It's about redemption. Look at verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I love that verse. He has delivered us. Now, brethren, listen to me. Watch this. Watch this. He has delivered us. Number one, he has delivered us from the power of sin. The power of sin. Do you understand that sin is a powerful thing? Do you understand that sin can take dominion over you? Do you understand that if you don't resist it, but just keep going with it, it will totally control you? But God has delivered us from its power. Let me show you how powerful sin is. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and I'm telling you, every word of it's difficult. Every word of this is difficult. And Romans 7 scares the brethren to death. Look at verse 15. Paul is talking, and he's talking about this battle that's going on within himself and the battle that's going on within you and me that you don't talk about because you think it makes you look like something you're not. Look at what he says. Now, this isn't me. This is the Apostle Paul. Romans 7:15. For I do not understand my own actions. How many ever been there? For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Anybody been there? Huh? I know you set out to do this good thing and end up doing the very thing that you hate. That, you know what that is? That's the power of sin. That's the power of sin. Paul's mind had been redeemed. In his mind, he was a Christian. In his mind, he knew what was right. But Paul had a problem. And you and I got the same problem. This redeemed mind is wrapped up in this unredeemed flesh. And this flesh wants to do what's evil. Amen. And so everybody who is a Christian, everybody who's a Christian has this battle going on inside. Well, I want to do what's right. Yeah, but here comes the flesh. Now, if your mind isn't redeemed and if your flesh isn't redeemed, there's no battle because everything's going the same way. I don't want to do what's right. I don't either. Come on. You understand? This is an apostle saying, listen, I know what is right. I want to do what's right, but I don't always do it. You know why? Power of sin. But the Lord delivered us from the power of sin. He who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. Watch this and watch the wording. He delivered us from the power of sin. Secondly, he delivered us from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that death in Romans 6:23 isn't somebody takes a gun and shoots you and you're dead. The death in Romans 6:23 is spiritual death, eternal separation from God. You ought to love God because God hears you. And you ought to love him because he cares for you. And you ought to love him because he's delivered us. He's delivered us from the power of sin. It no longer can have dominion over us. He's delivered us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God. One more. Watch it close. He has delivered us from the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. And in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, he makes this analogy with the old law. The law of Moses was very mechanical. Here's what I meant. You do something wrong, you got to go to a priest and make a sacrifice. Then you're going home from the priest and you do something else and you got to turn right around and go back. It was all just very mechanical. But God said, I'm going to write my law on your heart. And on your mind. And now we have this assurance of Christ, that if my heart is right, if my intent is right, and I want to do what's right, I'm still going to slip and fall, but the blood of Jesus is going to cover it. You need to understand what God has delivered you from. God has delivered you from the dominion and the power of sin, the power that the sin that had over all of us. All of us. He's delivered us from its penalty. We don't have to be separated from God forever, and he's delivered us from the guilt of sin. I don't have to live being burdened down by guilt. Because God hears me, God cares for me, God has delivered me, and that ought to be the way that I live. We good? So, why should we love God? Number one, hurry, we're only half done. Why should we love God? Because he hears us. Why should we love God? Because he cares for us. Why should we love God? Because he delivers us. Now, we're going to turn right here. We're going to turn right here. Question. How do we show that we love the Lord? I mean, look, anybody can say it. Oh, I love the Lord. They put that on Facebook. Oh, I love the Lord. And their next entry is about somewhere where they went to go get drunk. And just put it out there for the whole world to see. And then come in church building Sunday grinning. Like the whole world don't know it. I'm going to leave that alone. All right, so how do we, listen, we got three reasons why we love the Lord. Now, the psalmist isn't done in Psalm 116. Now he's going to show how we show that we love the Lord. Number one, we show that we love the Lord because we are aware of what God has already done for you. Look at Psalm 116. Look at Psalm 116. Verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me. Listen to me. Don't you ever forget what God has done for you. Don't you ever forget the benefits that God has extended to you. Two, very quickly, the physical blessings that God has given to you. James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the same source, and that's God. Look at the physical blessings. You walked in here tonight only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Our health, our jobs, our ability to get up and function and do for ourselves. Don't ever forget what God has done for you. You're going to show your love for God by always being aware of what he has done. Always being aware for what he has done. When you wake up in the morning and can put your feet on the floor and stand up, that's a good day. That's a good day. And that ain't an accident. That's the grace of God. The physical blessings. Be aware of the spiritual blessings that God has given to you. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul talks about that unspeakable gift. That's the gift of Jesus. That's the gift of Jesus. Listen, the gift of prayer, the gift of the church, the gift of the word, the gift of salvation. Listen, listen. You show your love for God by being aware of what he's done for you. Because when you really understand where you are and where you ought to be, there's nothing but gratitude there. There's nothing but gratitude there. So we show our love for God by being aware of what he has done. Number two, we show our love for God by keeping the promises that we've made to him. Look at verse 14 and verse 18. Psalm 116, verse 14 and 18. The psalmist has talked about why we should love him. Now he's talking about how are we going to show it. Look at verse 14. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. Look at verse 18. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. What is a vow? It's a promise. It's a promise. I show my love to God by keeping the promises that I've made to him. Now, quickly, I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 1. Are you there? Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know what they're doing is evil. Listen, listen. Be not rash with your mouth. Nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you're on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Look at verse 4. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Brethren, listen. The way, The way I show my love for God is keeping the promises I made to him. And everybody here who is a Christian has made a promise to God. Because whenever you responded, wherever that was at, and you confess, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, whether it was in a baptistry or in a creek in the south somewhere, when you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and when you were taken under that water and came up, you were making a promise with those actions. You were saying, when you did that, you were saying, from this moment forward, lock, stock, and barrel, I belong to the Lord. You better keep that promise. You better keep that promise. You show your love for God by being aware of what he's done. Now, by being aware of what he's done, by keeping the promises he has made. I got 2 minutes. Number three, through worship. Through worship. Look what the psalmist, look what in Psalm 116, look what he says in verse 17. Verse 17. I will offer to the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Brethren, listen. The way we show our love for God is through worship. I don't come to church on Sunday. I don't come to church on Sunday because I'm afraid if I don't, I'll die and go to hell. I come to church on Sunday because I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He hears me. He cares for me. He has delivered me. I love the Lord. I'm going to live every day being aware of what he has done for me. I'm going to live every day. I'm going to keep the promise as best I can that I made. I'm going to show my love for him in worship. We come here to worship God, to lay ourselves, as it were, prostrate before him. Finally, number four. What is the future of those who love the Lord? What is the future of those who love the Lord? Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The future of those who love the Lord is that they will die, and when they die, their deaths will be precious. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Okay. We stop right here. I have needs to be this weekend in Kentucky. It's the last meeting of the year, I promise. It's the last one after this weekend. I'll be here for several months. When we come back, we're going to take up with love again, and we're going to talk about the word love in the scripture. The Greeks have a word for love. Actually, they have four of them. The Bible tells me to love my wife. The Bible tells me to love my enemies. But God doesn't want me to love my enemies like I love my wife. There's four different words, but all of them say love in the English translation. So we're going to go through that. Are we good? Yes. Huh? We're good? All right. Pray for everybody. Pray for me. Let's pray now. Our Father, we thank you for this hour. Bless us now as we depart this place. Watch over us. Keep us safe from harm. Forgive us of sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be dismissed.